Amen. Turn in your Bibles with me this morning as we continue in the book of Ephesians. We're going to be in chapter 5, and we now have entered into the last section, if you will, of the epistle that Paul wrote from a prison cell in Rome to the Ephesian Gentiles. And this, you know, Ephesians, as you've heard me say, has been called the greatest piece of writing in all of mankind and all of history. And man, I certainly agree with that. This morning, as we move into relationships, in other words, marriage and children, raising children and so forth, before we get start putting on our spiritual armor, it's important. I want to start this morning with a positive and then a negative, if you don't mind. The positive thing about marriage is this. We hold in our hands right now the greatest instruction manual on marriage in all of the universe. Amen? And it came down from God. Man, this book is from heaven. It is God-breathed. Amen? Okay, so that's the positive. The negative is that so few believers know where to find their God-given roles in marriage and what God requires of them. You know, like I told the early service, you know, out of 35 years in ministry, I mean, all those years and all just, I can't even remember. Some people I've married, I don't even remember it. I'm serious. And I had a couple tell me the other day, Bill, you married? I said, I did? Now, that, I don't know what that says, but hello. You know, that cheese is gone, man. But here's the thing. Out of all of that time and all that marriage counseling, sometimes 6 weeks, you know, in other words, every week, only two couples in all of that time have ever, when I ask them, I said, where is your spiritual role? The husband and the wife, the wife and the husband, their roles, where are they found in the Bible? Only two have ever been able to answer that question, and they knew what to do. Isn't that amazing? So that's the negative part of it. So as we start talking about marriage, would you say that that's a very important topic today? Man, do you know that because of the pandemic, sheltering in place, husband and wife? Oh, I mean, it's like, hello, I want you at work. Do you understand? Man, listen, the divorce rate is just, shooting up. It's incredible. So as we do this morning, as we go into and talk about marriage, this is more of an introduction to submitting, in other words, one to another is what? What really does that mean in the Word of God? And today's Christian, you know it and I know it, we have more marriage helps today, this generation, since the very birth of the church. Amen? You can go online and find anything you want about marriage. You can even have a marriage retreat, attend a conference online. You can have marriage seminars. I mean, there's so much out there, the conferences and so forth. You can order. You go to Amazon, look up Christian books on marriage. Oh, my gosh, there's so many books out there. It is unbelievable. And then if you look for the secular books on marriage, it is unbelievable what the world has written. Matter of fact, when I Googled that, what came up on the secular books, not the Christian books, it said 15 books all couples should read according to a marriage therapist. Well, I had to find out what those books were, okay? Let me just give you a few. I mean, the first one, the top of the list, The Art of Loving. That's very interesting. The next one, Getting the Love You Want. Sounds like a song, you know. Anyway, the new rules of marriage. I did not know there were new rules in marriage. Did you? Here's one that I'm going to buy. Emotionally Focused Marriage Therapy for Dummies. So I'm going to pick that one up. So here's what I did is we're starting our introduction about marriage, which is so vital today. I did what any good pastor would do. He went online and went to Google, and he Googled in just one word, marriage. Okay? And let me tell you what happened. 1,970,000,000 results. That's unbelievable. I mean, how did they do that in 0.6 seconds or whatever how they do that, you know? And then so with that came the definition of what marriage is. And let me read it to you. Here's the Google definition. Marriage is the process by which two people, now they didn't say which two people, I always say male and female, amen? okay, the process by which two people make their relationship public, okay, make it official, make it and permanent. It is the joining together of two people in a bond that supposedly lasts until death, but in practice is often cut short by separation or divorce. Now, that is the world's definition. That is not God's definition. Amen? The Bible teaches us that marriage is to be between one man and one woman, freely, totally committed to each other as companions for life. So Christians, we, loved one, we have the greatest book. We have the only true book, the only true and perfect book ever written concerning marriage. It's called the Bible. God is the creator of marriage. You know, when you read Genesis 1-2, doesn't that just blow you away? We're going to be covering some of that in the weeks to come. But, you know, you think about, you know, how God created marriage, and God created the Adam, or male and female, Adam and Eve. Think about that. And then not only that, the Bible teaches us, and only the Bible teaches us, what marriage should actually be and look like. And also, the Bible reveals God's design for marriage, and also the divine order for marriage. And then what's really amazing is when we get down to verse 32 in chapter 5, it says that marriage is a great mystery. It is a great mystery when you really know what marriage is. Do you understand? When you understand what God actually does. But it has to do, an illustration, if you will, with Jesus our Lord and his church, the body of Christ. Now, with all that being said, you know this, I know this, it's not a surprise to you, but we are living right now in the most deceptive time in all of history. I mean, Satan himself has used man, as he usually does, to upset God's divine order, especially when it comes to marriage. Just in my short lifetime, loved one, I have seen a digression, if you will, from what true marriage is, and so have you. If you've been around as long as I have, you've certainly seen it. And that is, you know, let's take the 60s. You know, for example, in the 50s, did people live together, but they didn't tell anybody they were living together? Are y'all listening to me? You can be friendly with me. I love you, okay? No, then the 60s hit, and so marriage became optional. In other words, I don't have to be married. I can just live together. It's time of free love and all the rest of that junk. So it moved from being optional, and then it moved to the fact that, well, we can just dispose of it if it doesn't work. So divorce just escalated in our nation. So it went, again, from optional to disposable, and then something happened in our nation. It was one of the darkest days in my personal life, and I don't know if it was for you, but it was for me. And that was the day that the Supreme Court redefined what marriage is. The oldest institution in the world, the oldest institution in the world, marriage, was redefined, dear God. And so today, here we are, and if you remember back then when I was talking about it, I said, it's going to open a can of worms like we cannot even imagine if it's passed. Now we have men marrying men. We have women marrying women. We have women becoming men, and we have men becoming women. We have children now that identify, they choose their own gender. They can become, I'm a boy, but I want to be a girl, or I'm a girl and I want to be a boy. If that doesn't break your heart, what will? That's where we are right this moment. There's going to be a great shock, and I say this with love. I love everybody, everyone. I want everybody saved. Amen. When you're in the world, you're not born again. You're a natural man. You'll do anything and you can believe anything. Do you understand? But you can say, okay, I'm going to, whatever they do to turn a man into a woman, a transgender, whatever that is. In the resurrection, whatever they were born, if they were born a man, they're going to be a boy. They're going to be a man in the resurrection. Do you understand me? You can't do this. It's against everything. It's crazy, the things that are happening. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm 11:3, said, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, we can keep living for Jesus. We can keep our prayer time. We can keep standing for the truth of God's word. But so, yes, the world order is completely messed up. They're out of divine order. But here's the deal now, loved one. Listen to me. There is no excuse. There is absolutely no reason for a born-again Christian to be married that are out of divine order. There's just no excuse for it. And I know that only the Lord knows how many couples that are married in the church. And you know what? They live under the same roof. They have the same address. They sleep in the same bed. But in their hearts, they're emotionally divorced. They're married, but they're miserable. And then after that happens, the miserable thing starts. They start abusing one another verbally. And then they get lonely and they're broken and they don't have any more strength to continue in their marriage. The divorce rate in the church is the same as the world. You know that? Now, so with all that being said in this introduction to where before we get into the roles of the wife and the role of the husband and raising children and all of that, what would you say is the number one reason or the number one cause for divorce among believers in God's church? I mean, think about that. What is the reason? Why would a spirit-filled, blood-bought, new creation, old things have passed away, all things have become new, chosen in Him before the foundation of the earth, accepted in the Beloved, redeemed by the blood of the Lord, a purchased possession, sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption, every sin forgiven, carried away, seated with Christ in the heavenlies, waiting on Him to come back to get us. All those things adopted, why would someone with those credentials divorce? And you may say, well, it's communication. That's one of the big issues. Communication is the number one problem within the church and in the world today with couples that are married. But that's not the reason. You may say, well, it's financial. Well, financial issues can certainly be an issue and cause much strain in a marriage. But that's not the reason. You say, well, unfaithfulness, adultery, whatnot. That does happen, unfortunately. It's very sad. It's heartbreaking. But that's not the number one reason for divorce in the church. The number one reason why Christians divorce is this. They are not doing marriage God's way. They're doing marriage their way. Every Christian couple should ask themselves, both of them, who is the Lord of this marriage? You also need to ask yourself this in marriage, Christian, what plan are you using? If you're not using God's plan, you're already in trouble because there is no other plan. Do you understand? There's no other plan. That's why the Bible is so wonderful. See, a husband, when we get over to you, listen to me now. You don't know how to love your wife. I did not know how to love my wife until I knew what Ephesians chapter 5 meant. Then when I got that, everything changed in my marriage because I was being obedient to the Lord. Same thing with the wives. Listen, it's so important. God knows what He's doing. Amen? No, wait. Who made the female? God did. Who made male? God made. Who made marriage? Okay, then don't you think He knows something about it? He created sex, not Playboy magazine. Do you understand? You know, like I always say when I'm in marriage counseling, I ask a question. I said, if I wanted to know, I use the same story every time, you know, I'm boring. If I wanted to know everything about a 1965 Corvette Stingray, would I call the Ford Motor Company? Would I? The only one person, Jesse. Jesse knows. Have you seen his truck? Woo! No, you wouldn't call Ford. Why? Ford didn't create the Corvette. Amen? Okay, but if I call Chevrolet House, they would say, man, I know everything about the Corvette. Every wire, every nut, the horsepower, the torque, what size, everything. Why? They're the creator. Well, God, here is our manual. If you want to know how to have a God marriage, God's way, then go to your manual. Amen? That's why this book is so vital. It's so important because there's only one plan. Solomon. Did Solomon have a lot of problem with women? Now, I'm telling you, hello, he wrote only, I don't know if you know this or not, he only wrote two psalms, by the way, but the one that he did write, Psalm 127, verse 1, said this, except the Lord builds the house, unless the Lord establishes the home. He says, listen, they labor in vain, in emptiness. Do you understand? If you're trying to build it yourself, you have to have God building your home. That tells us something. There's only one foundation that marriage, the Christian marriage, can be built upon. Now, and that is this. Jesus Christ must be the Lord of your marriage. There's no other way. Jesus said this in Luke 6:46. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you do not do the things that I ask you to do? So think about it. If God's not building your marriage, you're building it. If you're not following God's plan to build your marriage, you're following your plan. Man, listen, that is a frightening thing to me. That's called a snake tactic, you know, from the devil. That's what he wants you to do. So husband, let me ask you a question. If Jesus Christ is not the Lord of your marriage, all right, how can you love your wife Christ? I mean, love as Christ loved the church? Where's your plan? If Jesus is not your Lord over your marriage, how do you raise your children? I mean, you're going to raise them some way, but are you going to raise them the right way? You know, and how are you going to be the spiritual leader? And the same thing with the wife. Wife, if Jesus is not the Lord of your marriage, how do you submit to your husband, respect your husband, trust your husband? How do you even love him? And why would a wife or a husband get married to someone who doesn't want Jesus to be the Lord of their marriage? Think about that. Now, Christians have a different biblical view than anyone else, or they should. Did you know that we have a different marriage from all the other marriages in the entire world? Think about that. I mean, that just blows me away. See, listen, marriage is not a contract. It's not a license. If I married you, you probably remember I said as you stood before me or when counseling and so forth, I said this, listen, you're going to bring me the marriage license. I'm going to sign it. I'm going to mail it back for you, da-da-da-da-da. But marriage is not a contract. No piece of paper, no justice of the peace, no pastor can take two people, male, female, who Jesus is their Lord, and take two people who are so totally different emotionally, two different makeups. Man, if you don't think, guys, you know the women are different than you. And God, ladies, I know you know he's different than you are. You're smart, he's not, I know, amen? No, listen. And God takes two people, I call it the miracle of the marriage covenant. He takes two people, because see, marriage is not a contract. Marriage is a covenant. And he takes the woman and he takes the man. Adam, remember Adam? Adam was made from the what? The dust. Eve wasn't. You're talking about two unique people. No, Adam was, God breathed into him. He was made from the dust of the earth. But Eve, no, God took that rib out of Adam and he built woman. Amen? Are you following me? So he takes two different emotional makeups, and it's not a contract, it is a covenant. And here it comes. He makes the two one flesh. Paul says, and that is a great mystery, but I speak of Christ and the church. Boy, I can't wait till we start getting into that. It's going to be so wonderful. So with all that being said, the Christian should never, ever say to anyone, well, I believe marriage is this way or this way or this is what my grandfather taught me. Nothing wrong with that, but here's the deal. You need to say, here's what marriage is. I'm going to define marriage by going to the Word of God. It's not my definition. It's God's definition. We don't use the fallen mass of humanity's definition to define marriage. Amen? No, we use the Word of God. Why? Because only God defines what true marriage is. Lloyd-Jones says this. He says, It is only the Christian who truly understands marriage. You cannot understand marriage unless you are a Christian. And that is such a true word because, see, it's a miracle. I mean, Whenever I'm doing a wedding, and if I married you out there, or if I married you and you're listening, you remember what I told you? There we were. I said, here's the beautiful bride, and here's the husband. We don't care about him anyway, but, you know, he's all there. But everybody's looking at the bride. They're not looking at the husband, right? Thank you. And so they come up, and we're on the altar together, and I always lean over, and I said, remember what I told you. It doesn't matter who's here now. It's me. It's you. It's not about the attendance. It's me, you, and God. And a miracle is about to take place. You're getting ready to be made one. And you know what's going to happen? Once God makes you one, it's a miracle. He makes you one. Your very first steps that you take are steps that you have never taken before in your entire life. You now take steps, your first step, as one together, as one flesh. It's a miracle, loved one. So with all that being said, let's look on this introduction of marriage God's way. And here's the problem. Most people, I was guilty of it years ago, most people, if you want to know where to start in marriage, somebody tell me what verse you would start at if we're going to do marriage. Verse 22, right? Okay, if you look at verse 22, what is right above verse 22? It's going to say something. What does it say? Marriage, Christ, and the church. Now, that can kind of throw you off if you don't know how to study God's word, okay? Now, did God put that in there? No, man put that in there. So here's the deal. If you're going to start, you have to start at verse 18, all right? Verse 18, because verse 18 is a command. Be not drunk, which is drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be ye being filled with the Spirit. Remember that verse 18 is a command. It's not an option. In other words, every day your desire, Lord, I want to be filled every day. Why? Because Christian living is life in the Spirit. And not only that, all marriages, every marriage begin with this command because it's given to every Christian individually. Amen? Okay. When you become one, this still applies to you. Two lives made one. Now both of you desire to be led by the Spirit of God. And not only that, you desire to be controlled by the Spirit of God in your marriage. So you take a Christian husband and a Christian wife. If they are obedient to verse 18, here's what's going to happen. They will manifest in their walk and in their life verse 21. Especially in their marriage. Here it comes. Submitting to one another, husband and wife, submitting to one another, how? In the fear of God. Literally, it should read, in the fear of Christ. Wives, submit. Boy, the husbands love this verse. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now, verse 21. Submitting one to another is also a command. It's a command that is given to every born-again believer. But marriage, God's way, begins right there. That's where it all starts. It's so important. See, if we just start with verse 22, we are doing much harm to our text. And we're also going to cause much harm to those who are being taught. And I've been guilty of when I was a younger pastor, I would start right there in verse 22 talking about marriage. But then once I understood and learned and grew, then I understood what a mistake I was making. See, verse 22, you can't make verse 22 stand by itself. There's no way. As a matter of fact, verse 22 doesn't stand by itself. Let me read to you in the Greek or in the original language what verse 22 says. You ready? Here it comes. In the original language, the wives to their husband as to the Lord. Let me read it again. The wives to their husbands as to the Lord. What word is missing that's found in verse 22 right now in our text? What is it? Submit. Now, why is that? Do you understand? It's not even there. No, the verb submit. Let me give it to you in the Greek. I have a little, you know, my software program. It pronounces it for me in my office. I can punch it, and I do it about 30 times so I can try to remember. And then I write it phonetically in my notes. Does that make sense? Now, you didn't need to hear that, but that's what tells you the truth. Now, the verb submit, here it comes. Let me see if I can remember. Hupotasso. Let me say it again. Hupotasso. And the reason I say that weird accent is because that's the way they say it. So, husbands, if you want to be romantic with your wife, just go, hupatazo. Hupatazo. That word means submit. No, do you understand? No, now listen to me. So the verb submit, hupatazo, now listen to me, it is supplied in the previous verse. Does that make sense? Verse 21, verse 22, you can't separate them. They go together. That's why that is so important. And then it says, look in verse 22, it says, your own husband, wives. You know what that really means, the word your own? It means literally your own private, unique possession, your husband. Isn't that a glorious word? Now, Kenneth Wiest, great Greek scholar, let me tell you what he says where it says in verse 22, as to the Lord. He says, as to the Lord, or even as, or in the same manner as, that is to Christ. Listen carefully, women. That is to Christ. Listen carefully, husband. Not to the husband as Lord and master. The husband's supremacy in this verse is not even in view. Who does the supremacy belong to? The Lord. Now that just defined everything and settled all of disputes right there about submitting one to another in the fear of the Lord. So how important is verse 21 in marriage? If the husband and wife, if they don't start at verse 18, then go to verse 21. If you don't start there, if you don't obey that scripture, if you don't believe that scripture, it'll be an impossibility for you to move into verse 22. There'll never be a submission one to another in the fear of the Lord. The divine roles that God has given to each of you will never even happen. The marriage will be confused. You'll be building on the wrong foundation. Now, in matter of fact, there's no reason for me to even counsel a person or teach if no one will move past verse 21 or believe verse 21, obey verse 21. So here is God's plan for marriage. Matter of fact, it is the very first step and the most important step, submitting one to another, husband and wife. Now, why do you submit and why or how do you submit? Well, it says the fear of Christ. Amen? You see, that word submit, a lot of people, it's a dreaded word to a lot of women, and I can understand that. But if you look up just the Greek translation, it's military in origin. It means to come under the authority of. Well, we are under the authority, wives and husbands are under the authority of whom? Under God, or the Lord Jesus Christ. And women, some women hate that word. You can't imagine in counseling, take that out of my vows. Don't you, that word submit, because it's in my vows that I use in weddings. And I've actually had many years ago, and she wasn't the first one, but she told me, don't you use that word submit in my vows in public when we're having our marriage. She said, I don't believe that verse or word. I will not, I can't stand that word. I mean, she was adamant with me. And I said, well, ma'am, I said, I'm not going to take a word that God uses and say I can't speak it. Does that make sense? And so there I am at the wedding. It's a big outdoor wedding. And when I read that verse, she stopped. She looked at me. She came up to me. She grabbed my vow and said, I'm not going to. I said, hupotasso. She would not say that word. See, there's much harm that comes, man, from that word, man. And this is not a forced submission. That's crazy. I've even had men that cause so much harm. I remember a pastor that came to me and said, listen, that word submit, and I'm going to tell you right now, that means whatever I tell my wife to do, even if I say, you're going to sin, she has to do it. I said, sir, you're of the wicked one. That's not what this, it's not teaching at all. It doesn't say that. Did you notice that it doesn't say wives obey your husband? Doesn't say that, does it? Okay. And if you're single, you better listen good, because one day you're going to get married and you're going to say, that doesn't mean to obey. No, go down to chapter 6, verse 1. Who obeys their parents? Children. Wives don't obey their husbands. Now, I know I'm probably going to get a lot of email right there, you know, but that's okay with me. No, if you study this out, when it says submitting one to another, husband and wife in the fear of the Lord, what is it talking about? When it says one to another, that means mutual submission on the part of the wife, mutual submission on the part of the husband. Does that make sense? It's both of you submitting to the proper authority, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord. So the major emphasis on in here in chapter 5, beginning from verse 21 all the way to chapter 6, down to verse 9, I think it is, it's not even really talking about. The major topic is not the submissiveness of women. The major emphasis in that text is on the God-given authority that God has given and how you operate in his authority. Does that make sense? That's what these scriptures are about. So, loved one, listen to me, especially women. Submit is not a bad word. I know that man has made it a bad word. Churches have made it a bad word. The world has made it a bad word. Even pastors have made it a bad word. But it's not a bad word. That word did not originate in the heart of man. It originated in the heart of God. It is a love word. And man, submit is a love word from heaven. It's a glorious word. And it's only for the Christian. So remember when Peter was writing there in 1 Peter 5:5, he writes this, "Likewise, you younger people," here it comes, "submit yourselves to your elders." That's the word of God. You know, remember the command in verse 21, submitting yourselves, every believer, but also husband and wife, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of Christ. We are to love one another. You know, so if you have respect for your elders and so forth, it says, yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. So we will never be submissive one to another if we are not first submissive and want to be submissive to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. James, in James 4:7, he says, therefore, submit to God. In other words, align your will up with the will of God. He says, therefore, submit unto God. He says, resist the devil, and he will run or flee from you. So the area in marriage, for example, when they refuse to be submissive in that area, that is going to be the area of their attack. Now listen, I say this with love. I'm not trying to beat anybody up this morning. But, you know, if you did as much marriage counseling that I have done and still do, you would be a little stern with stuff like this, okay? You know, if a husband and wife, if you have any other theology about marriage that is contrary to the Word of God, the teaching of the Word of God, I say this with love, you need to change your theology. You need to do that. Jesus is your Lord, and only the creator of marriage has the right to shape your marriage, design your marriage, and place us in our God-given roles. Mutual submission means absolutely nothing to the believer if they refuse to obey verse 21 and believe verse 21. All the other verses in marriage with them, they're just meaningless. See, if submitting yourselves one to another, husband and wife, in the fear of Christ. If you're not in agreement, both of you, what does God's word say? In other words, in marriage, is it the husband's will or the wife's will, or is it God's will? That's called the fear of Christ, isn't it? Submitting yourselves, mutual submission, one to another. So, husband, it's not your will that you're looking for. It's not the wife's will. God, what is your will for us in this marriage? The decisions that we make, you go to the Word of God. Do you understand? The Word of God is premier in your marriage, in your walk, and all the rest of it. So if you're not in agreement, how can you raise your children the right way? You see, if you just have a video in your mind about what marriage is or raising your children, and you don't know what God's Word says, well, both of you are not going to be in agreement. And the Bible says, how can two walk together if they're not in agreement? So that is vital that that happens. So there are those right now, and I say this with deep, deep love. Now, listen to me, husband and wife. Some of you, you don't want to come to church because of health issues, and I support you. I love you. You stay safe. You keep your mask on. You shelter in place. Do whatever's necessary, you know. But there are other believers, husbands and wives, kids, they're there. they're listening maybe online right now, maybe they're not. They may be, you know, at Six Flags, or they may be over there or over here, but they won't come to church because they're afraid to come to church, and this is the safest place you can be, but they don't mind going out there to restaurants and all the rest of it. Would you say that's kind of wrong? Yeah, that's called the forsaking of the assembling of yourselves together is a habit of some. You know, that's wrong. So, you know, if you feel safe out at an amusement park or whatever's happening out there today at a restaurant, then you would feel comfortable here. So with all that being said, now that I got that out, that was pretty good on my part. Submitting one to another in the fear of Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now, the only reason you submit is the fear of the Lord. Not your will, but God's will. So mutual submission, submitting yourselves one to another, mutual submission is based on the fear of Christ. Now, to not obey verse 21 means that you cannot walk as Jesus walked on this earth. Remember, he who says, and what is it, 1 John 2:6? He who says he abides in him, meaning Christ, ought to walk even as he walked. Well, if you're not going to be submissive one to another, then you're in trouble, because Jesus Christ is the greatest example of submission in the world. Amen? He died for the sins, our sins, willingly died for the sins of the world. The Bible says this in Philippians 2:5. Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, meaning his attitude and so forth, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Robbery means he didn't consider it a treasure to just hold on to and never just keep at all costs. No, why? Well, Jesus is God. Amen? See, Jesus came to this planet. Loved one, listen. Born of a virgin. He became the God-man. He was obedient to the Father, came to this earth. Listen, he wasn't thinking about himself. He was thinking about you. He was thinking about me. He was thinking about others. Amen? To die for the sins of the world. It says, he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, the lowest place on the ladder, loved one, and coming in the likeness of men and being found in the appearance of man. Listen to what Jesus did. He humbled himself and became obedient, submitting, you see, obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So Jesus is God. He came from heaven. He came to this earth. And they put him on a cross and said he was a criminal and butchered him, and he died. And then he rose from the dead and he ascended unto heaven. Amen? Yeah. So what does that mean? It means that Jesus was submissive to the Father. How can any Christian or how can any Christian couple be proud? Oh, listen. No. Jesus came into the world. Remember what the baptism of the Lord, what did you hear from heaven? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. When you go through the Gospel of John and see how Jesus was said, all that I do, all that I see my Father do, that I do. I do not do anything else except what I see my Father do. In John 10:17, Jesus said this, my Father loves me because I lay down my life and I take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have authority to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. Here it comes. This command I received from my Father. Jesus, the Son of God, submitted himself to the Father's will. Mutual submission, husband, wife. Mutual submission is based on the fear of Christ. Now listen to me. I say that word, listen to me, a lot. I don't know why. My radio editor hates it. They have to, you know, they take it out to make me sound better. You know, I don't know why I told you that. It doesn't matter. I'm in one of those weird, I'm in the heavenlies this morning. Does that make sense? Loved one, listen. If you do marriage any other way, and what I say right now, I say I love you and I say with tenderness, if you do marriage any other way than God's way, you are saying, husband, wife, you are saying you're wiser than God, the creator of marriage. The creator of male and female. If it is your will and not God's will, then Jesus is not the Lord of your marriage. And that is so desperately needed today. Satan loves Christians. They love the Lord. They come to church. They don't know where Ephesians 5 is. And if they did, they don't practice Ephesians 5. They build their marriage on sand instead of the rock. Amen? And I tell you, Satan loves that. He cannot wait to send the floods and the storms and the rain and see and watch your marriage fall. Mutual submission is based, again, not your will, not your husband's will, not the wife's will, but God's will, is based upon the fear of Christ. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and knowledge." The fear of the Lord is the beginning. In your marriage, if you haven't started there, right there, then you haven't started at all. Now, it tells us here that husbands and wives, why do they practice mutual submission? It says in verse 22, it says, "As to the Lord." It's where the husband, "I just want to do what God wants." The wife, "I just want to do what God's want." Can you be in any better agreement than that? Amen? Now, what I want you to do, follow me through these scriptures. We're going to cover them in depth later. But follow me beginning in chapter 6. I want to just show you something. Chapter 6, verse 1, "Children, obey your parents," how? "In the Lord." What does that mean? It says, "in the Lord." It means that children are the Lord's representatives as well. Listen, the Bible teaches that children are the heritage of the Lord. They belong to Him. Amen? So you have children. Guess what? They belong to God. You're stewards over those children, right? Come on. Yeah, we're all going to give an account to the Lord on how we've handled our giftings, how we've our marriage, and so forth, you know. So here he says, listen, children, obey your parents, and here's how you need to do it. You do it in the Lord. You love the Lord. You do it for the Lord. Why? This is right. It's the only right thing a child can do. Look at verse 4 of chapter 6. "Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath or to anger, but," here's what you do, "bring them up," and literally bring them up tenderly in the training and admonition of what? Of the Lord. So training and admonition, that word literally means to instruction, putting God's word in their mouth, in their heart, if you will, and training, discipline. Now look at verse 5. "Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters, according to the flesh, fear with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart." And who are they doing it for and whom? As Christ. In other words, as service to Jesus Christ himself. Don't do it with eye service to be seen by someone. He says, as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God. See, there it is. Not their will. Not the employer's will. No. Not, you don't serve man, you serve God. Amen? So it says, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord, not to man, and knowing whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether slave or free. And you masters, do the same thing, give up threatening, knowing that your master is also in heaven. There's no partiality with him. Now, we don't obey these because they're good and right, and they are good and right. We obey them. Why? Because Jesus is our Lord. This is the word of God. No, that's why we do those things. The Christian and the Christian marriage, loved one, they are governed by one person and one person only. We are the body of Christ. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. We submit to him. Amen? Do you understand? That's the fear of Christ. The fear of Christ is what rules and governs marriages and Christians as well. So the fear of Christ is submit to the one who has been given all authority in heaven and upon this earth. Remember what we talked about a couple of weeks ago or whenever it was, the verse there, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." But, well, yeah, there it is. I just read all of it. It's submitting one to another, husband and wife, in the fear of Christ. When you think about the fear of Christ, what do you really think it is in a way? I mean, I know we're to reverence the Lord, worship the Lord, and love the Lord. Man, listen. But when I think of what fearing Christ is, it's deeper than that for me. And I know it is for you as well. See, it's the fear of Christ is, well, grieving him, disappointing him. You remember whenever Peter, when the Lord told him, he said, oh, Peter, you know, you want to die for me. Let me tell you what you're going to do. You're going to, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. I'll never deny you. You know, Peter, you know. So there's Peter. Jesus has been taken prisoner. They've beaten him senseless. It's horrible. He's walking through the praetorium, and Peter's outside. He's been warming his hands with the world, you know, and they're asking him about the Lord. I don't know him. I never known him and all that. And he denies him three times. The rooster crows. What happened in that scene? Remember what happened? Jesus is walking through the praetorium. He's bound. He's been beaten bloody. And Peter looks up. And Jesus, he sees Jesus. And Jesus is looking right at him. And I promise you that Jesus wasn't with the eyes of hate or whatever, none of that, but with love. And what did Peter do? Because he sinned. He did what he never wanted to do. He denied the Lord. He went out and he wept bitterly. That is what we must do. What that the same effect should be upon all of us, that when we in marriage, husbands, wives, submitting yourselves one to another, how? Your will, Lord. See, to not do that should make us weep, loved one. The Bible has already told us, what is it, in 5:1? It tells us, therefore imitate God as dear children, as his own children, the offspring of God, walking in love, just as Jesus loved us, forgiving one another, being good one to another, walking in light, walking in wisdom, walking in discernment, walking in the will of God. You know, the Bible teaches us that we love him because he first loved us. He died for us. When we think of the fear of Christ, you need to look at it like this. It is the language of love. If John 3:16 doesn't move a believer, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, whoever believes and not perish, have everlasting life. If that doesn't move the husband and wife to submit, nothing is ever going to move them to submit. Nothing at all. Submit is not a bad word. It is a beautiful word. It is a word from heaven. It is the very first step in having marriage God's way. Now listen, I love you. You know that I love you. And I hate it when I see marriages in trouble, and I see so many. And what I tell you right now, I say with deep tenderness, I say with deep love. If Jesus Christ is not the Lord of your marriage, you do not fear Christ. You don't fear the Lord. And that's just the word of God and the truth. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments. Why? Listen to what he says. For this is man's all. He said, that means it's the whole duty of man. If Christ is our Lord, the whole duty is love him, fear him, keep those commandments. What did Jesus say in John 14:15? He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, that's what I want you to do. The Word of God says in 1 John 5:3, this is love for God. What? What is love for God? That we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. You know, love for God, see, is much more than saying, Lord, I love you. Like in my prayer time this morning, I said, Lord, I love you, Lord. Worshiping and praising, there's nothing wrong with that. But see, love for God is much more than saying, I love you. The Bible teaches that we can honor God with our lips, but our heart can be far from him. Amen? No. See, love for God is not demonstrated by words. It's demonstrated by doing. James 1:22, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. It takes us all the way back to what we've already been learning. Every Sunday, I use the same scripture, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. where we walk worthy of our calling. Remember, worthy means a set of scales. It means balanced on each side. Here's doctrine. Here's application. This is to hear God's word. This is to do God's word. If you only hear God's word, hear God's word, hear God's word, whatever, you get one side and you never do it, then what happens? You don't have a balanced walk. So we hear God's word, we apply God's word, and that's how we walk worthy of our calling. Submitting yourselves, husbands and wives, submitting one to another in the fear of Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Husbands, I want you to look at something with me in verse 22, okay? Right there where it says the word, let me find it. There it is. Husbands. You see that word? That's anira in the Greek. It means, that word is translated man, all right? Well, so what is God saying? He's saying, husband, be a man. Grow up. You're married now. Husband, be a man, meaning you be the Lord's man. Does that make sense? That is so vital. Why do I say that? If you could sit with me in counseling, of course, now we don't do counseling unless it's online, and some people come here, but we social distance about 400 feet. We use a megaphone. The husband and wife, they're on the couch. Married 10 years. I know they love one another. And the wife looks down and she says, my number one complaint is this. I love him. I want to be with him the rest of my life. But the problem is that in all of our marriage, he's never taken over the spiritual leadership of our home. Men, the Bible says, husbands, that word means man. Be God's man. Be a man. Instead of your wife always, she's the one who gets the kids to church. She's the one that teaches the kids to pray. She's the one that teaches the kids how to read the Bible. She's the one that answers all the questions. That shouldn't be like that. You are the spiritual leader of your home. Amen? Amen. I could tell I didn't get a big one on that. No, that's just the word of God. You know, you need to do those things. No. And wives, I want you to think about something. Again, submit is a love word. Why? Look what it says. It says, let me find that scripture. There it is, verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands. And how is it that you do submit? What is it? As to the Lord. Now that command, listen to me now, elevates that to all the way to heaven. It is a high command. It is holy, man. It is filled with love. And what is he saying? You be the Lord's woman. Husband, you be the Lord's man. You follow the Lord. You submit unto him. Listen, here's what I've learned about women in the church. Married women, all women actually. A woman that loves Jesus Christ will do anything for Jesus Christ. I mean, I just have seen it, the sacrifice, over and over and over and over. And ladies, here's what I want you to do. I want you to do a Bible study, okay? It would benefit you greatly. I want you to search the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, just the Gospels. You search the Gospels, and here's what I want you to do. You're going to find. You will never find one woman treating Jesus Christ badly. You'll never are speaking evil of him or are harming him in every way. You know what you will find? You will find the women who knew Jesus in the New Testament. Not only did they honor him, not only did they anoint his feet with their tears and wipe and anoint his body for burial, but they loved him with all of their heart. So submitting to one another is what? Very easy. Submitting one to another in the fear of Christ is mutual submission in your marriage. It's not her will. It's not your will. It's both of you agreeing with God's will. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for those that are present, those that are listening live, those, Lord, maybe their marriage is in trouble. I pray not, but if it is, I pray that this is penetrated into their heart, embedded in their heart, that they have to start at verse 18. They have to obey that command. They have to obey verse 21, the command, Lord, or they can never do verse 22. Help them. Oh, Lord, set Ephesians chapter 5 on fire in the heart of every marriage that needs it, Lord. I thank you for that. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, and the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning.